Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen, amen. All praises. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class here in St. Paul, Minnesota. And tonight, we are dealing with the soul. What is it and where is it? The soul. What is it and where is it? You know, we got all these different ideologies pertaining to the soul. Where it's from, you know, we got the soul and our body, leaving our body, you know, according to mysticism and things like that. And then you got old folklore that the soul can actually come back and hunt and stuff like that. We got old things like that. Or we got the word of God that'll tell us where the soul is. Amen? So let's do that. Let's trust in the word of God. Let's not trust in old wives' fables and superstitions and things like that. Let's look into the word of God and see what it say pertaining to these things that we really want to know. Like, what is a soul? You know, from what I was always told through time, that a soul is something, your essence, your personality, your charisma, your charisma. And the soul is basically, we're going to let the scriptures decide what a soul is. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into my ideas because it's a very sensitive subject. You know, a lot of us believe that souls actually survive. Well, we're not going to lean to our own understanding. We're going to let the scriptures dictate exactly what it is that the word of God wants us to know about what a soul is. So let's do this. Let's open up in prayer, then we're going to get into these scriptures, okay? All right. So, brothers, if you can't cover your head as we approach the Father, and sisters, if you can't uncover your head as we approach the Father, and we go from there. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and ask to see, ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and give them a mind to perceive and ask to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Well, once again, we're dealing with the soul. And the question is, what is a soul? That's the whole idea. That's the whole point of even having this precept. What is a soul? So let's get into the scripture. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 and 4. Genesis 2 and 4. These are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God had made the heaven, had made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the fields before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Then went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and man became, forgive me, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that's the question. This is the first time we heard the word soul. So the word soul is in the law. So I guess now is to find out what it is that the soul is. You know, because some people tell you, you know, the way we're looking at the way the stories of the world have it, the soul leave your body and goes and can be in somebody else, or it can take over somebody else's body and talk to you, or it's just too many things the soul can do. Well, let's just look at what the scriptures say the soul is. Okay, so we see that man became a living soul, right? All right. Let's go into Genesis 12 and 13. Genesis 12 and 13. And this is Abraham going into Egypt. And Egypt Abraham just told Sarah, look, tell them that you're my sister, and they will kill me and my soul live. Well, I thought a soul couldn't die. So why would Abraham make that statement if his soul was going to die? If a soul can die, then why would he say you will save it alive? That don't make any sense. Verse Genesis 12 and 13. It says this, let me pick it up at 12. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Wait a minute. He just said they're going to kill me. So if they kill him, they kill his soul. Well, now see, that makes sense when he said, well, man became a living soul. What do you mean he became a living soul? Well, if you could kill a soul, then man was a dead soul without the breath of life. And this is exactly what Abraham was saying. He was saying to us that the soul, in essence, in here, Genesis chapter 12 and 13, can die. You see? So this is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Leviticus. I want to go to Exodus because we're talking about the Passover. We rewrite passages all the time. Okay, Exodus 12 and 14. And this is the day it shall be in a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leavening out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from among Israel. How is that? When it's invisible. How do you cut off a soul? He said that like it can be done. Well, it must can be done because he just said it. How do you cut a soul off? Well, we just got through looking at Abraham said, he told Sarah, he said, look, tell them you my sisters that my soul, that they don't kill me and my soul lives. Interesting. And the God of Israel said, without the breath of life, a soul is dead. Well, let's continue. Let's go to Exodus chapter. Exodus chapter 31. No, I don't want to do that. Let's go into Leviticus chapter. Yeah, let's go right into Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. And let's pick it up at verse 1. It said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning the things which ought not to be done, and shall do it against any of them. So now a soul can sin in ignorance without you. If the soul is you or your essence, then how can it sin in ignorance when the soul is supposed to be the mystic part? But I guess your soul can leave your body and just start going on an excursion or something. But that's not the law. That's not how we live the law. It says, if it's sin in ignorance, if it's sin in ignorance, if the priest that is anointed do sin in ignorance, and it's start going into those things. It starts talking about sinning in ignorance. All right. Leviticus 5 and 1. Leviticus 5 and 1. If a soul sin or hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he have seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. See that? If a soul sin, versus if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, so a soul got ears, right? Okay, it's not just a mystical thing, got ears. And as a witness, it can see. And it can be a testimony before who? Between God and man? How is that? How can a man defend himself against an invisible being? It's a witness against you, so how is it that you're going to defend yourself against something that's invisible? If a soul is something invisible. And it says, if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of an unclean cattle or carcass of an unclean creeping thing, or if it be hidden from him and he be unclean and guilty. So a soul can touch something and be unclean. Let me get this straight. Okay, because if I'm listening at the world, then my soul technically can leave my body and go play with anything unclean and come back and defile me, according to the scripture, if I'm looking at the way the world view the soul. Or if I look at this for what it is, the soul is starting to look more and more like a human being, and that a soul is nothing more than a body. Because when you start looking at it, it says, one, if a soul hear the voice of swearing, so it got ears, and it can be a witness, right? It can see, got eyes, and it can talk to the living. If a soul sin, it can talk to the living. It can be a witness in a murder case. A soul can. So how is it that a soul is going to be a witness in a murder case unless it's physical? We have yet to see a spirit take the stand. So if that's the case, then the scriptures is broken, unless he is describing something else. He said, if a soul touch any unclean thing, then verse 2, if a soul touch any unclean thing, or if he, verse 3, or if he did, he touched the uncleanness of a man, or whatsoever uncleanness it be that a man may be shall be defiled by, it be hid from him, whether he knoweth, then he shall be guilty. If a soul, right, if the soul swears, so your soul can go out here and start making oaths without your mouth. Because if we make oaths, we held accountable. So if our soul can make an oath, it can make us accountable, and we're not there, and we didn't speak it into existence? No, that's not how this works. If a soul swear pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty of one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty of one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock. So a soul got a herd, a flock. They got a herd of bulls and flocks that if it's sin, it can actually approach a priest with livestock without you. Your soul can visit the priest with livestock on your behalf, according to the law. No, that's not what we're reading. He said, if a soul pronounce with his lips to do evil. So now we see a soul not only can sin willfully or ignorantly, but we also see that it have a mouth. It got ears because it can hear the voice of swearing. It got eyes so it can be a witness. And it can talk so it can be a witness. And then they tell you here in Leviticus chapter 5 and 4, it said if a soul swears, so it definitely can talk, pronounce it with his lips to do evil, then there it is. Or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of him, then he shall be guilty of these things. Why is the man guilty? It just went from an oath to a man? If a man, look, if a soul swear pronouncing with his lips to do evil, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath. So we're starting to see that the scriptures have become more definitive of what a soul is and that a soul is actually a physical body. It's actually a physical body. Let's skip down to Leviticus 5 and 15. If a soul commit a trespass and a sin through ignorance, and in the holy things of the Lord, when he shall bring his trespass unto the Lord, a ram without blemish of the flock, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekels of the sanctuary for a trespass, a soul can sin through ignorance and go and see the priest without you? Is that what we just read? Let's continue. He shall make amends for the harm that he have done. In the holy things, he shall add a fifth part there too. Where is the soul getting this at? Where the soul getting money from? Shackles and silvers and all. Okay. Where is he taking it to? That's another thing, right? He shall make amends for the harm that he have done, and the holy things shall add a fifth part thereto. Well, I guess a soul can count and give the rest to give it to the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass, and it shall be given, forgiven him. So the soul sin in ignorance, and then the priest can go make an atonement after the soul brings a sacrifice to the priest. See that? I'm just wondering how a soul going to visit anybody without a body. I'm still waiting on that. How is a soul going to eat anything without a physical body? It's just that simple. You've never seen anything disappear before your eyes, eaten out the air. You know, like some spirit being just start eating your plate up. You never seen that. Never. But this is what it says, verse 17. If a soul sin and commit any of these trespasses, which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of the Lord, though he wist not, yet he is guilty, he shall bear his sins. Yeah, there you go. So the soul got to keep the law. If I'm looking at this correctly, a soul is capable of keeping the law. And it's also capable of keeping the commandments of God. It's also judged according to its actions within the commandments of God. So this is that thing. Leviticus 6 and 2. If a soul sinned and committed trespass against the Lord and lied to unto his neighbor in which was delivered to him to keep or in fellowship or in a thing taken away by violence and deceived his neighbor, see, got to be careful with that, but it said if a soul, you see, this is that thing, or have found that which was lost, lie concerning it, and swear falsely in anything, in any of these things that a man doeth sitting therein. He just told you what it was in verse 3. A soul is a man. In any of all these that a man doeth sinning therein. So a man is a soul. He's talking about a man sinning against God, even though he referred to it as the soul. Then he said, then it shall be because he has sinned, it is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, and the thing that he which had deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the thing that was lost which was found, or all about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it to the principal, and shall add a fifth part thereto, and give it to him to whom it appertained in the day of his trust. Wait a minute, how is the soul out there taking care of all his business without the body? I got a problem with that whole theory. You know, praise God I had a teacher that taught us well concerning what a soul is. And he made it plain, a soul is a physical body. And when we read these things that we're looking at now, we can see it plainly as well, that a soul is physical, because these things right here, only a physical being can do. They can only do these things. Only a physical being. You see? So this is that thing. Amen. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 17 and 18. All right? And if Leviticus 17 and 18, it says this, if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offered it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth it shall bear his iniquity. So a soul can eat. There it is. See that? So when we're looking at these things, when we're reading these things, we got to be so conscious of the things that we're taking in, because, you know, the world is not teaching the word of God. So stop looking for films or revelations and see it, you know. Every now and again, you get your nugget here and there that the world is actually, they're steeped in lies, but they let the truth fall out their mouth that they know what they're doing. You know, kind of like a sinner, or no, kind of like the wicked and the ungodly. The wicked and the ungodly know what they're doing. That's what we're reading about, sinning in ignorance and sinning in presumptuous. If you know what you're doing, there's no sacrifice. That's all to it. Only mercy. And we better hope it's mercy, because when we sin presumptuously, depending on what it is, it could be life and death. Even the second death. So we see here, soul can eat. You see, it can eat. Now watch this. In verse 19, in the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten, it shall be burned with fire. As for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that pertain unto the Lord, having his cleanliness upon him, even that soul shall, having his uncleanliness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So the soul have a people. Okay. Right. And then it says, we see that it's having this real natural going about through the word of God, like a human being. The more and more you read about a soul, the more and more we start finding out it is a human being. Verse 20, but the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice, peace offering that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanliness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of a man, or the uncleanness of a beast, or any abominable thing, and eat the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So, not being facetious, but you got to ask this question. A soul could go out here and play in unclean things, the uncleanliness of a man, the uncleanliness of a beast, and any abominable thing, and eat the flesh of sacrifices without you? Your soul can go out there and perform all these things and bring you into condemnation before God. Because that's exactly what it's saying. Your soul, if you're saying that your soul is separate from you and capable of performing the things that you can do, then the soul isn't a separate entity. It isn't a separate entity. What we're starting to find out is that a soul is a human being. It's a body. That's why he said he created man and man became a living soul. That's why Jacob said, Abraham referred to his soul and said, they'll kill me. But if they think that I'm your brother, then they'll save my soul alive. Like they have the power to kill a soul. Abraham made that statement. Is that a true, accurate statement that a soul can be killed? Leviticus 7:25, moreover, eateth the fat, moreover, whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, or which man offer and offering made by fire unto the Lord, even that soul that eateth it shall be cut off from among his people. So a soul can't even eat fat. Well, it makes sense because it clogged arteries, so God knew that before we got into the science of it, right? Okay, so now we got this soul on a diet. You know, can't eat blood, can't eat fat. It's on a diet. Whosoever eat the fat of beast, or which man have often made by fire, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from among his people. He said, But first, he referred to his man. Verse 27. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Well, so much for Dracula, right? So that's a. Now, if we were to look at the vampire movies to have any validity whatsoever with the Word of God, because they always try to equate the vampire movies with the Word of God, right? They refer to the drinking of the blood as being sin or wickedness. True, that's the Word of God. But they say a vampire don't have a soul. But the book just said in verse 27, whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off among his people. So that's, once again, we're dealing with a paradox of doctrine here that's not conducive to the truth. So we're trying, what we're doing here is just going through it, just going through it and just weighing it out. What we're doing is giving the people a chance to weigh it out. You know, everything ain't what it is. Everything ain't cut and dry. You gotta investigate these things. Some of us actually took the time to read, and God put it on us to share because we read for ourselves and our salvation. But he said, now that you read and for your salvation, I've taught you, now I want you to share it with these people or this person or that person, whoever you sent across your path. And just be mindful, everybody ain't meant forever. People come and go. That's all it is. No big deal. Just come and go. They did. They got what they got, and that was what they needed. That's it. And same thing in our lives, man. We got people that's friends that we've been knowing forever, but then we got those that are not. So, this is that thing. So we see here a soul can go out here and be touching and playing with dead bodies and eating and all kind of stuff without the body, and come back and go see the priest and make sacrifices and all this stuff while you somewhere playing video games. Really? Is that how you want to look at this? Is that how you're being taught to think? Exactly. Because the minute you can put down your video game, you turn on your TV, then they got some stupid film on there talking about a soul coming back to hunt, you know, killing people and stuff like that, or some Dracula film that's drinking blood and he don't have a soul, but he got to drink blood to live. Come on, man. None of it is conducive to the Word of God, but they try to give a validity because they try to impute God with it. When they say God, that everybody go red alert. But as we can see, it's impossible for those things to have anything to do with the Word of God. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, but I have given it to you. And I have given it to you for upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. And it is a blood, and it is the blood that maketh the atonement for the soul. Okay. So the blood make an atonement for the soul. So that is. I thought it was invisible. I thought the blood make an atonement for you. When I last checked, he made an atonement for us. Man, if I'm not mistaken. At least that's what I read in the New Testament, that he made an atonement for us through the blood. Verse 12. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. So the strangers that's among us that like to have it raw, nope, can't do it. No pink, but no pink whatsoever. Nope, you know that old bougie statement, yeah, I want to see it climb off the plate. Nah, that's a lie. I don't want nothing that's that bloody. I don't want nothing that look like I just open it up and put it in a skillet for about 2 minutes just to give it a smell. I can't wait till it's done to the center. So I have to, I'm going to eat it half done and then say, oh, it's a delicacy, but I'm eating raw blood. Wondering why I'm coming up with different type of blood diseases or new diseases because I took in a blood disease that affected my blood because I actually did something stupid like that. When God told us, don't take the blood in, our bodies is not conducive to that. Okay. Leviticus 20 and verse 6, and it says this, and a soul that turneth after such to have familiar spirits and after wizards or go a horn after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among his people. So you can be serving God all up in the camp with your hands all in the air, and you can be full of praise and being on the atonement and giving your best, and your soul can leave your body and go and worship devils and go visit spirits, and go visit wizards without you. Is this what we're coming to? Is this what we're trying to teach our children? Is this what we're saying that is common sense and reasoning in the church? So you all about the word of God, and your soul is all into sorcery and witchcraft. How is that? You see, this is that thing. So, Leviticus 22 and 6. The soul which have touched any such shall be unclean until the evening and shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh and with water. So a soul got flesh. A soul has flesh. Makes sense to me because it can eat, right? Got lips, got ears, got eyes. It can swear. It can witness. Why wouldn't it have flesh? It's just, it only makes sense. Leviticus 22 and 11. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall not eat of it, but he that is born in his house, he shall eat of his own meat. Wait a minute. So the Lord is telling me that priests can go and actually buy a soul. From where? Soul Train? Yeah, I had to do it. Where? The soul market? Solos? Where you going to get it at? You could buy a soul? Or are we talking about a man? Exactly. Leviticus chapter 23:29 concerning the atonement. It says this, and whatsoever soul that it shall not be afflicted in that same day shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it shall be due, that it shall be due if any work that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. So a soul is a person or a people. And the other catch is, whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work. But you at home sleep, it's the Sabbath, and your soul went to work? I'm trying to make sense of this. I mean, we all trying to make sense of this. And right now, that's not reasoning. It don't make any sense. And it shouldn't, because that's not the word of God. That's fractured fairy tale. That is fiction. That's fiction. That's nonsense. Whatsoever soul it shall be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from your soul can work. So let me get this straight. Leviticus chapter 26 and 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. So the God of Israel that put a soul in Adam have a soul? And who put a soul in him? Uh-oh. If a soul is interchangeable and transferable, then something had to put a soul within the God of Israel because of the basic principles of the law that dictate that those things take place according to the laws of man. That's the only way it could happen. Other than that, it's fairy tales. It's all fairy tales. Numbers 13, but the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even that same soul shall be cut off from among his people because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. So now we see a man is a soul. Flat out. He just said it right there in Numbers chapter 9 and 13. He used it interchangeably and made it really clear that a soul got to keep the Passover. So you at work, but your soul is keeping the Passover? Right. Right. But the man that is clean. Okay, now, Numbers 11. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all but this manna before our eyes. So I don't want to deal with that because it's talking about a soul being hungry. And we just got to dealing with that, talking about eating. So we know if you're going to eat, then I guess that's what it is. All right, well, here we go. Numbers chapter 15 and 27. Now, this is that thing between ignorance and presumptuous. This is what I was warning my brothers and sisters concerning, because there's no sacrifice for presumptuous. 15:26, and it should be forgiven all the congregation of Israel and the strangers that sojourneth among them, seeing all were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinned ignorantly. And when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord to make an atonement for him, it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and born, and for the strangers that sojourn among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. See that? That presumptuous thing don't get a sacrifice. It don't make any difference if you're a stranger or Israelite. He say, you suffer the consequences of your sins. It's just that simple. It says, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandments, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. He said, because when you sin presumptuously, you actually despise the word of God. you're not doing anything but killing yourself. And that's between you and God. And he said it. He said, because they have despised my judgment, despised my word, that soul shall be utterly cut off that sins presumptuously, because they despise God. They don't despise you, the sinner. They don't, you know, they think they're sinning against you, but the truth is they really hate God and his laws and statutes, and they think they're, most people think we're above God, that we don't have to obey his will. But there's a rude awakening on the way, and we all going to find out one way or another. You know, so like I said 1,000 times, keep your sins at a minimum. Keep your sins at a minimum. Now, Numbers 19 to 20. But the man that shall be unclean, he shall not purify himself. That soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Water separation shall not be sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. So you can't wash a soul. Water can cover a soul. Is that what we're saying now? Where is that at? Where are people doing that? I haven't seen no big churches. I haven't seen all these spiritual warfare people doing this. Did they actually pull a soul out of a body and watered it? Are we doing it spiritual? No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't tell that lie. We are exercising souls. No, you're not. You are lying. That's a lie. We are getting all these souls together with it. You may be doing that. You may be really doing that. But to sit up here and say you're exercising souls, you are not doing that. That is physically impossible. Okay. Let's look at this a little further. Let me read this, because, see, this is something that I had to learn the hard way. I ain't even lie to you. I was like, you got to be crazy as two road lizards. I'm going to read this here, Okay. Numbers 30. And 10. 30 and 8. No, maybe I might start a little earlier. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let me start with the 6. Okay. Now, let me read a little early. 5. But if a father disallow her in a day that he hear and not any of her vows or of the bounds whereas she have bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed it. And if she had at all an husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, her husband heareth it, held his peace at her, and the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bond shall be with wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow that she vowed that she uttered with her lip wherewith she bound her soul of none effect. The Lord shall forgive her. So the husband has the power to free a woman. that put an oath against her own body. Or a father do. A father had the same thing to do with the daughter after hearing that. You know, if she's not married, he can free her from the oath that she made and say, nah, you, no, no. That's not going to happen, no. You know, who knows? She might have been going through menopause, or she might have been going through PMS or something, or chemical imbalance, whatever. It may have been that may have caused her to do this, but God is showing us that as the weaker vessel, we can't save you, even from God, from doing something like this, from making vows against your being. And they said this, and her bound, wherewith she bound, her soul shall stand. So now we're seeing that he's talking about her body, his body, and people binding themselves in oaths. And remember, we also read that Abraham thought that his soul could die. You know. How is that? I didn't think souls can die. How can a soul die? How is that possible? You know, how is that possible that a soul can die? So let's look at that. That's the next thing. Can a soul die? Because if you listen at modern doctrines or churches and all kinds of things, mysticism, the soul has a whole being of its own. It don't die. It don't do nothing. It's just kind of like just keep it pushing, right? Okay. Joshua 10 and 28. Now, the children of Israel is going to take in the land of Canaan from the Canaanites. And he told Joshua how to do it. He said, first of all, I want you to sharpen them knives up, circumcise each other. Now, I want these knives so sharp. Now, you can't read this, but you can only imagine that they sharpened them enough that when they did the circumcision, they didn't even know they did it until they started bleeding. Right? Okay. There you go. Now, these knives are super sharp. So now he said this, Joshua 10 to 28. In the day Joshua took Makkadah, smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls that were therein, and let none remain, and did to the king Makkadah as he did unto the king of Jericho. So he let no souls remain therein. So what did he do? He opened up a jar and let them escape? What did he do? Did he bust out with a ghostbuster machine and caught them and then let them out in oblivion? What do we mean he didn't let none remain? Joshua 10 and 30. And the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof into the hand of Israel. He smote it. Forgive me. I was at work, guys. Started work really early today. God did. All praises though, thank God. I was able to do it, perform my job. 10 to 30. The Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, and let none of it remain, but did according to the king thereof, as he did unto the king of Jericho. So you could kill a soul with a sword? So I guess Abraham was saying, if they find out that you my wife, they're going to kill me with a sword. Oh, that's what he was saying. Okay, now I get it. And the Lord delivered Lichash unto the hand of Israel when he took it on the second day, smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein according to all that he had done at Libnah. So he smote the whole city with a sword and killed all the souls in there. How is it that souls is dying when they're supposed to be eternal, according to what we've been taught? You know, they're supposed to be eternal beings that live inside of us, that are supposed to evaporate when we die and then go back to be with God and something like that. That is not a soul. The soul is the actual house or the body on which the spirit house. We got it wrong. We got it wrong. Your body houses the light of man. Your body houses the light of man, which Jesus gave to every man to come into the world. Why? Because that man is going to wake up again. Without the light, he don't wake up. Okay, verse 37. And he took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and the cities thereof, and all the souls therein. He left nothing according to all that he had done in Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, all the souls therein that were therein. So he destroyed the souls that were therein there. So Joshua is killing souls. I thought souls were eternal. What are they doing dying here? Why are they dying? If they're eternal, that's the question. So now I'm asking myself this question. I'm reading this book and I'm saying to myself, now my teacher said a soul is a body, and I'm reading this, and it's, as far as I'm concerned, Moses and Joshua is on point, because Moses wrote all the Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy's, Numbers, and Leviticus. He wrote that. And here goes Joshua, and he wrote that being up under Moses. You would think they'd know what they were talking about. I'm going to agree with these brothers. Because they're doing real kingdom work, so I'm going to roll with what they said a soul is. Joshua 11:11, and they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword. How is that possible, that the edge of the sword can kill a spirit being such as a soul? I thought it hit a body and it let the soul out, the soul escape into a better place. You know, what we've been told, that when you die, that you're in a better place, which is what they're talking about the soul, because your body is there, so they're not referring to that, because that's not in a better place, especially if you were shot up or in a car crash or burnt up. So that's definitely not that. So what are they talking about? They're talking about your soul. So they're talking about what they've been told what a soul is, that's going to go off into a better place. But you see here, they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. So it wasn't no going off to no better place for these souls. They were utterly destroyed. So how is that probable? How is that possible that we even come to this conclusion unless we are listening to lies? Joshua 23:14. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Ye know that all in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. Ye know in all your hearts and all your souls. So we got a problem, because our heart is in the soul. So how can your heart and soul be one? Because you got to have heart and soul. You know,
like a Motown record. You gotta have heart and soul. That's just all wrong. Wrong. It's just wrong. It's not conducive to sound doctrine, but you can let people in the world get away with that. But some people that call themselves teachers and things like that that want to be teaching far out stuff, they would tend to have you to think that your soul is more than anything other than just a body. That once it die, it become a dead soul. The God of Israel created it before he put it the breath of life in it. This is that thing. So, let's look at this a little further. Let me see. Lamentations 1:19. I call for my lovers, but they deceive me. My priests, my elders gave up the ghost in the city while they sought their meat. They relieved their souls. What? That don't even look. This is what he's talking about. Food. They were hungry. That's what we was under siege. They got it. That's what they do. But this is from God. This is what Lamentations is about. That's what Jeremiah about. Us being carried away in captivity up under Nebuchadnezzar. Ezekiel 7:19. They shall cast silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord, and they shall not satisfy their soul, neither fill their bowels, because it was a stumbling block of their iniquity. Wait a minute. So your soul has bowels. Your soul, when I last checked, my body got a bowel. What is my soul doing with a bowel, and it's inside of my body? You know, I could just see so many people taking this and just reanimating it, but you can't reanimate this. Let me see what it says here. It's another one I want to get at. Ezekiel 14:14. It says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their own righteousness, saith the Lord. There it is. Their own souls. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they should deliver neither son nor daughter, but deliver their own souls by their own righteousness. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. Self-explanatory, saying that he made all of us. So that gave him the right to judge all of us. That gave him the right to correct us. Because he technically owns all of us. Ezekiel 18, behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, so is also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall not die. No, it shall die. It shall die. That's what the law said. A soul can absolutely, positively die by the sword. Or suffocation, shoot it. Set it on fire. Yeah. That soul can die, according to the scriptures. Ezekiel 22 and 25. There's conspiracy of a prophet in the midst of, like roaring lion, raven, and prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst of. Her princes have, in the midst of, like raven and wolves and prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gains. So you got people out here destroying souls for lucre, money, ignorance, fame. Right. Oh, where is this? It's another scripture I was really wanting to read, but I can't find it. And it talks about our souls actually bleeding. I think it's in Isaiah. Let me look. It talks about our soul actually have blood in it. You know, in that our blood is poured out of our soul. So let me see if I can find that verse. If I can find it, that'll be like, your soul got blood? Yeah, it do. It sure do. Because a soul is a body. Well, I guess at this point, let me see. Psalms 44. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, and our belly is cleaved to the earth. There it is. Bodies to the earth, soul to the dust. Let me see. Psalms 49:15. But God shall redeem my soul from the power of the grave. I thought your soul go to heaven. I thought your soul leave your body when you die. Why is it in the grave? Like I said, we're dealing with too much add-ons here, we suppose, you know. Lack of a better word, people is imputing doctrine and things that they ought not to. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. It says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave and shall receive me. You see, this is that thing. So the soul is going to come out of the ground because the book said it's going to come out of the ground. You see? So this is, you know, we have to read our books. We can't continue to just sit up here and let people just tell us anything because it sounds good. You know, man, you know, I'm going to just tell you like this. Please be careful who you trust, especially in the word. Because when it comes to the word, we have a tendency of letting down our guards. Whereas, like, when we go to a car dealership, we got our guards on 10. That's how you're supposed to be when you go into a church. You're supposed to have your guards on 10 because you don't know who's there. I mean in the 21st century. If we were back in the day, then that wouldn't be a case because the priest would be in charge. But this nonsense that we're dealing with now, this infiltrated with everything in the creation, well, yeah, this is that thing. Man, I am not going to find that scripture tonight, which is probably from God. So, to those that are listening, I'm just going to leave it at this and hope and pray that I can find that scripture, you know. And wow. Let me see. I'm still looking for that script. I hate to lose a scripture. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that tonight. God willing, I find it. But it talks about a soul bleeding. I think it's in Isaiah, and I'm gonna really take my time trying to find it. I don't know if I'm gonna come back to the soul precept next week, because it's really simple. You know, when you look up soul and you start following it through the scripture, it's self-explanatory that a soul is a body if you allow yourself to go into the Word of God, objective instead of subjective. You know, you go in there with your mind wide open and clear to receive whatever God is that He has for you, versus you going in and you're going to tell God what you want and what you think He should be telling you. So, yeah, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. And God willing, we live. We'll get back to this at another time and date. But this is, I doubt it very seriously. We'll be dealing with the soul next weekend. So what did we do? We covered the dead, where are they, part 1, 2, and 3. And then we just got through dealing with in heaven and hell, right, and not a soul. So if you've been following these particular precepts, then we should be really clear on what's going on, what happens when a man dies. So when somebody start teaching their passions, all sorts of red flags start popping up. Not that, you know, we're supposed to jump out like the fire marshal and put the fires out. Just know that God has delivered you from the word of mouth into His truth. Amen. With that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And remember, read your Bible. Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.